month, the Federal Communications Commission reversed a 2015 order regulating the internet. The impact on net neutrality has yet to be seen, however, as experts debate whether the move will be good or bad for consumers. To get some perspective, I spoke to UT faculty member Stuart Brotman about net neutrality and the rule change. Brotman is a policymaker and advisor and expert in communications and law. He explains what net neutrality is and whether it's really in jeopardy. Explain in layman terms, what is net neutrality?
It actually should be called net anti-discrimination, although that doesn't quite have the catchy feel of net neutrality. And what that means is that an internet service provider, a company which essentially you pay to get internet access, should not be able to discriminate in terms of blocking websites that you might be able to receive, or what's known as throttling, which is the ability to slow down certain websites because it's discriminating against other ones. And then the idea of transparency. So when you are buying a internet service, you know what you're getting, and the internet service provider is essentially giving you transparent information. So this is just good consumer practice.
And I think there's some confusion, too, because, you know, the Obama administration made this rule. But the fact of the matter is that we had net neutrality before. It was just, was this like a gentleman's agreement, basically? Was it something that just kind of they felt the need to then say, no, we need to put some regulatory enforcement around this?
Yes, I think in the past decade, there's been a general consensus, and that would be both in the private sector and in government, that there should be these common sense principles. And so, yes, we did have net neutrality principles that preceded the 2015 implementation of net neutrality rules. So, in fact, the world has operated with net neutrality for quite a long time.
And what was the nature of the Obama administration's action to enforce net neutrality? I mean, why not pass a law instead?
Well, the FCC is the regulatory agency, and so it has the power that's delegated by Congress to enact regulations. And so that's why it was felt that no legislation was needed at the time. So the Obama administration believed that it was not sufficient to just have principles without a strong enforcement mechanism by the FCC. And so it decided to look at the Communications Act and put the provisions for regulating the internet under some old provisions which had been enacted in 1934 governing telephone companies.
Because prior to 2015, there had been a few instances where some internet service providers had either throttled or maybe blocked some sites. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And the FCC did act in each of those cases. What's interesting is that over the course of about a decade, we've only had about 9 instances of what we would call violations of net neutrality. So they really have been rare examples. And one question is whether or not you need a broad regulatory policy to deal generally with those examples, or if you should be able to address them on a case-by-case basis.
Now, internet service providers have promised they won't fulfill the worst fears of advocates for net neutrality, like fast lanes or blocking legal services. Should we take them at their word?
I think so for a couple of reasons. One is that the transparency rules will continue. That means that any internet service provider has to tell the consumer what the consumer is getting. There are two possibilities here. They could deceive the consumer and essentially not tell them what they're getting and continue or initiate blocking or throttling. And in that case, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has the authority to essentially initiate action and to do enforcement. So there still is a very strong government authority involved. It's just not the FCC, it's the FTC. The other option, of course, is for the internet service provider to tell the consumer, I'm going to block, I'm going to throttle. That would probably be a very unattractive proposition for a consumer. I can't imagine anyone who wants to subscribe to that sort of internet service. That's not what we expect.
And what about the rules for what we would call wired internet, terrestrial internet, versus wireless, so from our cell phones versus our cable internet? Are there different rules in those two areas?
There are, and the net neutrality rules that were implemented by the Obama administration essentially brought wired and wireless under the same regulatory regime. It's questionable why they should be treated identical, at least from the purpose for the purposes of competition. As you know, we have at least right now four vigorous competitors for wireless service, and it's also very easy to switch wireless service. So if you were subscribing to a company that was throttling or blocking on wireless and were not satisfied with that, the competitor would love to have your business. That may not be the case with wired, because typically we have fewer choices, but in many cases we do at least have two wire choices that are coming into a home.
So the chairman of the FCC says that this will fully open the internet. What does he mean by that? What is the upside to all of this?
Well, we're really just returning to the status quo at this point. And the status quo is what the internet looked like before 2015, which is when the net neutrality rules were essentially developed by the FCC. I think what he says, or what he indicates here, is that we're really just going back to where we were before. And everyone who remembers what the internet was like pre-2015 will remember it was perfectly free and open. And so we can expect the same today and tomorrow.
Well, Stuart, thank you so much for joining us.
Good. Thank you.